traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
That Dixie D'Amelio girl has that song, "Sometimes I Don't Want to Be Happy." It's like, no, you're going to be happy. And you're going to be happy now. 800,000 people a week are filing for unemployment. You're singing in a mansion. You're going to be happy or we're going to throw you in a volcano.
You visit me often in the bathroom early in the morning. Mm-hmm. Most times I'm naked.
Yep.
Today I wasn't. Mm-hmm. And you showed me a video today, a pretty explicit video of you engaging in, so I can't even say what type of behavior, with his standout girlfriend, people know as Lana Rhodes or Amara, depending on what channel you watch her on. And just came to wonder, at what point is role playing like full on like schizophrenia?
Oh, like the person just keeps switching back and forth between personalities?
Mm-hmm. Like, at what point are you the guy from Split?
Well, I think when you try to take it into a real world scenario. So like she was a naughty nurse last night. If she shows up at like ICU and tries to like perform an open heart surgery, I think that we've reached a place that we have an issue.
Right. All right. It's a good start. Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Thank you guys for listening, watching, viewing, and subscribing. If you're not subscribed, hit that subscribe button. Yeah, man, it's just, but don't show me those videos anymore. Thank you.
Was that like one of those like, yeah, don't show me those videos. Like,
no,
with the wank and shit.
I really don't care. I swear to God.
My favorite part was she was like, I really love my job.
It's wild in the house that I'm moving from. How are you?
I was okay until I heard that story.
Is it because you're Christian?
Heard what story, by the way?
I think any religion would be against that.
Just start right off the rip. Against what? We were talking on Barstool. What the fuck are you talking about?
I just, first of all, no. And if you guys are watching this, nobody ever says, all right, rolling. They just start fucking talking. And when shit is gross, I know we started. Like, as soon as he said that, I was like, oh, we're rolling.
Why do you act like you're any better than us?
Yeah.
No, I don't act. I just necessarily perform better than you guys.
That's because you got perform Jesus better? On your shoulder.
Blue Chew?
Good for you.
You know what? I'm not religious card. Just, you know, I don't show my friends me having sex with my girlfriend or the fact that you guys role play every single day. Like, how boring is your sex that you guys have to act like different people every day? Like, do you guys that much hate each other? You're like, hey, when we have sex, you don't be you and I won't be me. And then we can finally fuck. First it was Blue Chew. And then now it's just role playing.
So you're above that. You don't like to show your friends like nasty shit. The first time I met you, you ran into the room with your dick in your hand, spinning it like a helicopter blade, singing "I'm George of the Jungle." I always remember it. It was one of the most memorable things I've ever seen you do.
Well, I remember.
Well,
that.
Just flopping your dick. You almost, like you said, you almost took flight. Phew.
That's a little different.
Oh, is it though?
I mean, that's your girl, bro. That's your girl.
Oh,
man.
You think my girls? You should never did that stuff before. Huh?
Our guest today is an impulsive legend returning to bring the house down. He's our first official guest inside of the new studio. We got to go big. And the only way to do it is with Tim Dillon, ladies and gentlemen.
Fuck yeah.
He's back.
Fuck yeah.
Tim.
Thank you so much.
Sorry for that story, by the way, Tim.
I think it was beautiful.
It's
a beautiful moment, showing someone in the bathroom, you and your girlfriend.
We often get caught in what we call the dick sand.
Yeah.
It's so hard to get out of.
Yeah, it's tough. So she's a naughty nurse.
Yeah. Or cheerleader, depending on what day you ask
me. Okay. And you're someone with symptoms of COVID.
COVID, a broken ankle. Last night she said I had an overwhelming amount of pressure. There was no real sickness. Okay. It was just an overwhelming amount of pressure that needed to be relieved.
Yo, the worst part is the video, she's like, don't worry, I'll relieve you from the pressure. And Mike's like, yes, thank you, nurse.
Yeah.
Well, she, so yeah.
No idea.
Yeah. It's like someone's holding a gun to his head. They're like, role play, bitch.
You have to get better at it.
Yes.
You have to get better.
You ever do the RPG stuff, the role playing?
Well, that's...
Have you ever used an RPG in the bedroom?
I think when someone's hooking up with me, they're always pretending I'm someone else. I always imagine they're doing a role play in their head because their eyes are closed and a lot of times they're screaming. I'm not into like role playing. I think it's just hot enough where I'm like, I'm me, you're you.
Got it.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good enough. this is fun enough. And I'm also bad. Like, I would want to be something that I'm believably not.
What, for know? Example?
You know, I just want to be, I'd want to be a sport, like in sports or a fight. Like, it would be ridiculous.
A fighter.
Like, I'm like a fighter. I'd be like, I'm a boxer and you're, and they go, no, you're not. You're not. Not. So I'll do like a realistic role play where I'm like a manager at a
Burger
like a,
King.
Yeah. At a at an Islands Burgers and Shakes. I'm a manager.
Great restaurant.
Great. And I'm a manager and you're a waiter who's going to be fired. And, you know, and it's just very, and it's always sexual harassment. All my role plays are, oh, I'm committing a felony
right.
in my head. So that's why I stay away from it. Cause I'm like, oh, this is an abuse of power. Mm-hmm. This is not good. Mm-hmm. So yep. I try to just stay away.
Look, Tim, Joe Rogan says you're a national treasure.
He also said the vaccine for coronavirus was freshly fallen snow. So I love him to death, but you know, he says a lot.
Yo, he really does. He also said Connecticut. He also said Connecticut is simply a highway between New York and Boston.
Every other day he talks to me, he's like, vitamin D cures COVID. I'm like, I don't know, but all right. So I'm just taking vitamin D, no mask, thinking I'm good. So I'm going to drop dead on his advice. I love him to death, but
there's something about conviction.
Even if
you know that someone is so wrong, or you can respect their beliefs in what they're saying.
Sometimes he'll have like a doctor on his show, and then the beginning of the thing, she goes, "No, I'm not a doctor," and then she'll just go, like she'll just still go. She goes, "Now listen, I'm not a doctor, but here's 3 hours of my advice," and you go, "Okay, this seems reasonable."
But he's always been about that. Don't listen to anything I say type mentality.
He's a comedian. He's a really smart, brilliant guy, but he has so much pressure on him because so many people listen and take everything he says word for word. And I think he's very smart and he's a very smart people on the show, but it's a tremendous amount of pressure to just have people like every day going like, oh, are you right about that? Because he's talking. He's just talking for 3 hours.
Right.
I was thinking about that.
Yeah.
I won't talk to my friends for 3 hours. I hate people.
Right.
Is he? It's not true. I hate people.
I always love people, but
also like fuck off.
The fans yell at us all the time because around the 1 hour and 5 minute mark, he always says, "How long we've been rolling?" And he turns to the team, one at 110, 120, and I always say to him, "Like, listen, I could do this right now, free paycheck free for the next 6 hours, and it would be the best time of my fucking life."
Right.
Some people just love.
Well, you're like me. Here's what Mike does. Mike will ask someone a question and then answer it for them. Because Mike is me in the sense that we're really only ever having a conversation with ourselves. We're never really, like, no one else is ever in the room. And it's just us saying what we want to do. And it's just like, thanks for being here. But no matter what you say, it's immaterial.
It doesn't matter. Because
I've got a list of points I want to just work through in my own head. And you can eat a Pokeball while I do that. But who cares? That's really what it is.
I don't know how he does it.
Yeah.
I don't know how he does it.
Rogan, you're talking about.
Yeah, it's
hard. And for so long.
It's tough. He's really good at, he listens.
Listener.
He really listens. Yeah. And he's interested. He cares about stuff. He's curious.
So that's the thing. I think that's his shtick that allows him to be able to do it. Like, he really cares and he's curious.
Yeah.
But I was still wondering how someone can retain that much information in their head. Like, how much does he... No. How much is he listening?
Incredibly intelligent guy. He's incredibly intelligent. And it's amazing when you talk to him how much he does retain from all of those different hours of experts, because he'll be able to cite things and talk about things where you're like, I would have forgot that.
That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
He
holds on to it. And then when he does these 3 hour interviews, he's talking to somebody about like a book that he's reading or.
Wild.
Yeah. They're good interviews.
Wild.
Yeah. He's like a sponge, but also I always tell him too, as you get older and you learn more and you pick up from here and there, you almost naturally become more conversational on a general set of topics. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of an age and with age comes wisdom, right?
Yeah.
But this dude is so well studied. We saw him in Hawaii on vacation at the Four Seasons Resort, and he's always just laying there with the earbuds in, probably listening to an audiobook or a podcast or someone
fighter.
Else.
He has that, you know, he has that in his head where he likes he likes to be really good at what he does.
Yeah.
Mm. So he doesn't like to be half-assed at anything. So if he's doing stand-up, he's really good at it. If he's doing a podcast, he wants to be really, you know, he wants to be the best at it.
What about set design?
Ooh. That one's tough. That one is a rough one. That is a rough one. You're not recording, right? No.
People have said he looks like he's on the inside of a microwave. I've seen so many different.
People call it the red pill because it's this kind of pill shaped red. That it is very interesting. He went in that direction.
Is it in a bunker?
It's not in a bunker. It's where it always is, in like an office building.
Okay. Weird. So how they make it a pill? They built.
It's just a room that you go in and it feels. It's not a round. It's like a. It's just a room that they have that's like a round.
Look, we
room.
Talk about shapes all day.
Yeah.
I want to get to you.
Yeah.
You do a lot of political commentary. You've leaned into your internet sketch.
I've leaned into that over the quarantine because there's nothing to do. Like I love doing that stuff, and I love podcasting. I love being funny any way I can. So right now, it's harder and harder to do it live.
A lot of comedians haven't even tried to branch out.
They're in some trouble.
Why?
Well, because that's all there is now. So if you can't do anything online, you're in a little bit of trouble.
You aren't performing live anymore?
Well, I have live dates coming up, but I did them in last summer into the fall. Cases went up again. They shut down again. So we had to take 4 or 5 months off. And then hopefully we're doing them again late February, March. We're hoping these things happen.
I saw some of the dates, but in a lot of ways, it's a very much an evolve or die mentality.
That's
and
right.
You've clearly took the evolution route while other people sit and wait for live shows to come back. And now, not only do you have sketches, but you also have a podcast of your own that's, podcast by the way, doing very fucking
does
well.
Does very well. And it's I need to get it out. So I have all this stuff in me. I got to get it out. I got to make people laugh. I'm built. It's a sickness, whatever it is. So I can't sit around and wait for somebody to let me walk into the comedy store. I have to do something funny a few times a week just to feel good about myself.
I have a podcast. You have a podcast.
Yes.
How do you feel about everyone having a podcast?
It's not good for society. I'll tell you, that's going to be a very big problem. Fauci, one of my problems with Fauci is he went on all these podcasts. Like the guy who's supposed to be finding the cure for coronavirus is like, sitting there on H3H3.
He's an influencer,
like, Yeah, it's like, get in, he's on Frenemies. Get in the lab. Get in the lab and solve this problem. Stop arguing with Trish Paytas. But no, he's too many. He's on too many podcasts. He was on everybody. He presented an award at the digital VMAs. I'm like, get him in a lab.
You know why?
Yeah.
Because Fauci fucks.
He fucks.
He does.
Yeah. That's Fauci, what he does. Sure. Fauci fucks. He fucks. And I think
what a great name to say that with.
Fauci fucks.
It rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
You could tell he's just itching for that little bit of celebrity.
He's such a
performer.
A guy like that's been a nerd for 30 years in a lab and no one's cared. He's like, one day we're all going to be fucked. And everyone's like, shut up. And he's just a nerd and every day. And then this happened. And you got to admit, there was probably a little spring in his step. Like when the cases started skyrocketing, he was walking around his house like, today's the day I'm slinging dick. Today's the day I'm everywhere. Like he was a TikTok kid in that moment. He was like, everyone cares about me.
Right.
So even though it was like very bad and it's a pandemic, you know, there was a little part of him that's like, this is my time.
It's so funny when you see someone get made likable on the tail end of someone else's unlikability.
Yeah.
Like he was made famous by how much people didn't like how Trump talked about him and his ways. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And people felt that because he's a little guy. I mean, he threw that pitch out at the, that was.
Right. He threw a pitch?
Is this guy working? Why have I?
That's why we have a pandemic. Yeah. Because he's so busy doing podcasts and throwing pitches. You know,
he'll have a single soon.
He's the guy who came up with like the vaccine?
No, he's the guy who came up with the Savage Dance.
Yeah, he came up with that. No, he came up with don't go outside. Like he came up with, you know, what we need to do supposedly to kind of cure it. And it's like, it's so weird because every public health director looks horrible. Like they all look horrific. Yeah, yeah. Like everybody in charge of health in the country looks dead.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they all come out to a podium and they're like, and then they walk out and they look at you and they're like, no tennis. And then they go back in a hole. They go into a crevice where they live. And you go, get someone that looks healthy to tell us what to do.
Yeah.
But he literally is now the Bryce Hall of the administration.
He's the guy.
I heard recently he's been working on potentially doing the Bust It Challenge. You know, the one where they come out and then they drop it real low.
Yeah, he'll do it. He'll do it. He'll bust it.
Tim, at first glance, this doesn't look. I didn't know this was you.
This is role playing.
Like Chris Farley.
This is role playing.
I didn't know this was you.
This is what I dress up like when I role play. You want to know?
No.
Like
this.
So this is fantastic.
Well, this is our new health director. She has, you know, she's a interesting lass.
Yeah. Have you done a Newsom sketch?
I didn't. I didn't do a Newsom sketch. We missed it. I was out of town when he did that dinner. It would have been really fun because he went to the, you know, in the middle of quarantine, Gavin Newsom
just hanging out.
He went to the French Laundry.
Vineyard, yeah.
Yeah, in a, clearly inside. He's like inside drinking wine with a bunch of other people that are really rich. And that was when everybody was like locked down. Businesses were closed. Right. And he was going out every day going, you can't, you know, how dare you? Yeah. And then him, and a lot of these guys are doing it. The mayor of Austin went on vacation. Like, a lot of these guys are doing it and they're getting caught. So that would have been a fun one. We didn't do it, sadly.
Yeah. See, the mayor of Miami can do it because they don't have COVID there. They never had a single case. The club's never closed. They had never had an issue. So the mayor of Miami will go show up with purple to live Miami. Yeah. And it's okay.
They don't care.
It's absolutely
Miami's
fun.
About a lifestyle. And COVID's not
involved. A part of it.
Miami sells lifestyle. And they have no interest in COVID or pneumonia or dying. It's like it's Latin sex. Right. White couches.
White lines.
Yeah, white lines, yeah. And that's it. And if you don't fit into that, get out.
And COVID certainly does not.
Yeah.
It does not fit.
Yeah, no, COVID doesn't fit in there. They're not entertaining it.
Right.
So look, I don't know if I could say this, but
you could say it all.
You
say
called
it.
Me.
Yes.
The other day.
I did.
It was him. It was Tim Dillon.
I called.
He said, yo, are you staying in California?
Yeah.
Are you?
No. I'm out. I'm out soon. I was thinking about it. It's been weird. Joe moved. Some of my friends had moved. Tom Segura, another comedian, moved. Joey Diaz, a really funny comedian, moved. Everyone's kind of leaving. Michael Gruen's leaving to Miami. Who kind of convinced me?
Sharp kid.
He's a smart guy.
Sharp motherfucker.
He's like a legend. I go into his clubhouse room every night. Oh, yeah. And it's like him and Bryce Hall and Warren Buffett in Clubhouse.
The strangest.
Just discussing investment. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah.
But he's somehow, Michael Gruen has taken all the TikTokers and every financial mind in this country and blended. It's like, it's a legend. Whatever's happening is legendary. Yeah. And he lets me in his room and I'm just goofy and I make people laugh. And like, I listen to really smart people all the time. But Michael Gruen was like, yeah, you're an idiot if you stay. Go trailblaze somewhere else. And like, go be a part of a growing city, another, you know. And I was like, man, so I'm going down to Texas. I mean, I called a realtor. I got off the
phone. Decided.
I've decided. Yeah, I called you. And what you said really stuck with me. You're like, yeah, a lot of people are out of here. And like, I'm like, you know, at the end of the day, I'm like, I love LA. I came here. It gave me a career. And it was like Joe and all these guys and working at the Comedy Store. These were all great things. But like, it just feels like something is ending here.
I agree.
It feels like something's ending. And I feel like cities like Miami and Austin seem to just maybe be more interesting at the moment.
Are you going to Austin?
I'm going to Austin.
Austin,
yeah, I'm
is
going to
go so
like outside,
Austin
like 30 minutes
so
outside of Austin.
So fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It is such an amazing city.
Yeah.
Vibrant, one blue dot in the middle of the blood red state of Texas.
Yeah.
What's the street?
Sixth Street. Sixth Street. And then there's another, I think there's like Delaney or some other area with like bars that you go into that have slides.
And then, dude, you go 45
like
minutes,
circus.
You go 30, 45 minutes out and not even, you get lakes, beautiful, like natural, like I love it. So I'm going to get a house out there and just chill and do the podcast out there and still come to LA and still go to New York and still travel. But I like to like a home base there. Maybe
you're decided.
I decided within 24 hours. I talked to him. I spoke to Gruen. I spoke to a few other people. They were all, the Nelk kids are going to Florida. Like a lot of people are just leaving.
The Nelk, are they going?
Yeah, they're going to Florida, I think.
What's going on with you? What's going on with you and Nelk? You guys been spending some time together?
I just had friends, nothing more than that?
I
just had dinner with them.
Yeah.
They're just fun kids. I like people that are funny and their stuff makes me funny. I mean, you know, I know they, you know, pee on old people in grocery stores or whatever. but it's funny, you know what I mean? They like blow up cars, but
is anything not funny?
Like,
can you go too far?
Sure.
With your pranks and jokes.
Like, yeah.
Like when you see kids smashing milk gallons on their head in the grocery store.
Yeah.
Is that funny?
No. Not to me, but to someone. That's the problem.
That's a great point.
Someone thinks that's funny.
Do you know the kids who did that way back in the day? You remember this?
Yes.
Gallon smashing, right?
You slip and fall, you throw the gallons of milk in the air and smash it.
Yeah,
right.
Chuck the milk in the ground.
People hurt themselves doing that. Yeah.
They got banned from YouTube for, I think, 2 years, like blacklisted.
Whoa.
And they also got sued for a hefty amount of money.
Yeah.
And, for gallon smashing?
I'm seeing it. Sort of this resurgence of gallon smashing on TikTok.
I don't like how this conversation, it just seems so weird to me. Like, I don't want, like, why are they being blackballed or censored for Gallants, Matt? You could probably.
This is what I'm saying. I think it's too far.
Well, you could probably monetize a video right now of, like you said, you peeing on a bum. You probably could monetize.
Sure.
So why can't you throw milk in the air?
Well, the dairy industry
has a very strong lobby.
But that's my question.
And they do not fuck around. Don't damage yogurt. You could go too far, and people let you know. Like, I think we're living in a time now where nothing is ever going to be funny to everybody, and nothing will ever not offend someone.
Yeah.
So you're working with percentages.
What do you get offended by?
People that aren't. See, I'm the opposite. Where I get offended, where if you waste my time. So like, if you're doing something that isn't funny, and it's like, you know, you're being too self-important or too political, and it's like transparent. I'm like, oh, that offends me just because you're taking my time, and that annoys me.
Like cringe shit. Like, yeah, if somebody,
which when people are, it's really self-serving.
Not wasting other people's time is a skill.
Right. That's true.
I recognize, I appreciate when people have that skill.
Right. I love that. I think there's too many people out there that think that the time is just something that you can just.
Are you guys talking about the importance of entertainers being entertaining right now?
No, wait, a little bit. I'm not even talking about that.
Because listen,
Logan's talking about time.
Because listen, social media has given a platform to every fucking moron in the entire world, which is good and bad, right? But like you said, there's a lot of people out there who are just want to say something, and you have to swim through that fucking muck all day.
But if you find yourself wasting your time by sitting there watching an unimportant, misinformed, illogical video, that's your fault. I'm talking about in real life.
I agree.
I walked out of a premiere once because they like were taking way too
don't
long.
Don't waste my time.
Seriously,
I had a homie call me the other day. He goes, hey man, I just want to send you good energy right now.
That's horrible.
Why?
Is that all he called for?
Yeah.
I mean, that's horrible.
I agree with you.
That's horrible. You don't want to talk about time? You're talking about time. I would block that person. If someone called my phone and said, I want to send you good energy, I said,
Keep it. You're blocked. I will never speak to you again.
Go away.
I liked it.
I would be like, did you just kill someone? Like, I would be so suspicious. I'm like, did you just choke your girlfriend out? What happened?
I'm so with you.
That is such a guilt thing. Like, what did you do?
Just hitting you up to wish you well, let you know that you're loved.
Oh, man.
That's the equivalent. And he said, I don't want to waste your time. I don't want anything from you. That's all. And I was on my way to a sparring session and I was a little tired. So I used it. It felt good. Fuck
I'm
you
with
guys.
You on that. Yeah. These guys, I
would do that and then ask you for 100K. Like I would go right. Like I'd go right into. Listen, now that I've got you on the phone,
How's that love I sent you feeling?
I got a great idea. I'm you know, cash poor is the term, and I really want to. No, I mean, I get what you mean. It was quick. It was like a quick little. I love you. Good luck.
That was it.
Yeah. Okay. I
appreciated it.
Nothing wrong with that, I guess.
Why?
Just blocked him.
I did block him. I'm impulsive.
I would too.
Welcome.
And a word from our sponsors. Guys, I'm always looking at screens, especially now in the pandemic. It's all I do. I'm always looking at screens. So whether you're an avid news watcher or you need a serious distraction, unplugging yourself is easier said than done. And one of my favorite ways to rest my eyes and still get the content that I'm itching for by putting in my Raycon wireless earbuds and listening to something great. It doesn't even have to be great. It sounds great, but you can honestly listen to anything.
Could be your old YouTube songs even.
Thanks, man. Whether you're catching up on your favorite news podcast, binging an audiobook, or powering through your workout with a pumped up playlist, a pair of Raycons in your ears can make all the difference. No dangling wires or stems to get in your way here. Raycons come in a range of stylish colorways, but always with a comfortable in-ear fit for a more discreet look. They're built to perform anywhere and anytime with water and sweat-resistant construction and Bluetooth that pairs quickly and seamlessly. And with enough battery life for 6 hours of playtime, you can unplug for a while. And the best part, Raycon makes great sound accessible to everyone with wireless earbuds starting at half the price of other premium audio brands. And they're offering 15% off all their products for my listeners. Here's what you got to go to do to get it. Go to buyraycon.com/Logan. That's it. 15% off your entire order. Feel free to grab a pair and a spare. Buyraycon.com/Logan. Back to the program. I'm just scrolling on your Instagram here.
Yeah.
Why are you shitting on Cleveland, Ohio?
Well, you know the answer to that.
The Cleveland's thing about Cleveland, I love Cleveland. I've been to Cleveland like 4 or 5 times. I go all the time and I make fun of it and they love it. Because it's like half the city's a hospital. It's true. I mean, the Cleveland Clinic owns half of the city. You go to walk into McDonald's, it's somebody's getting an EKG. Everything's a hospital. The food in Cleveland is so unhealthy. It's like, it doesn't even give you gas. It stays in your stomach. They have something called a Polish boy sandwich, which is like a sausage and just, onion, I don't even know, feces. It's on a, and it's like, and you eat it, it does, you don't even get gas. It just stays like right here.
It's agita stage.
In your fucking sternum. And it's so, but I like it. It's desolate. It's heyday was 100 years ago.
No, but I disagree.
You think so? Oh, it's coming back?
I think it's going to come up. I think Cleveland is a stock. Where right now you buy Cleveland, low right now.
Cleveland is a stock that's being manipulated on Reddit right now, and it will probably. But no, I mean, I hope you're right. I love the audiences there. I love the people there. But
where are the best people at, and where are the worst people at?
Interesting. Arizona's got some rough ones. Arizona's got some great ones, but they've got some rough ones. There's something.
I'm sorry.
There's something about the level of tan drunkenness. You got to pick one, like the level of how tan you are and how drunk you are, it becomes a problem. There's an intersection of intoxication and tan when, as an audience for comedy, it becomes rough. Because by the way, they're a good audience. I love them and I go there.
Leather tan,
hammered people. They just are wild and unpredictable.
Mm. And the worst?
No, they're not the worst at all. The worst is like people that are too smart, like that are too cerebral. And you could find them in cities maybe like San Francisco,
yeah.
Yeah, where you go there and they're like, and they're very impressed with themselves. And LA audiences can be great, but it can be, you know, it can also be everything else. It can be, you know, like really good looking young people that don't need to laugh at anything. Mm. So if you're an Instagram influencer and you're like 19 and hot, you know, you don't need to laugh at anything.
Well, it actually is a detriment. Laughing gives you wrinkles.
Right, right. So like sometimes at the Hollywood Improv, like there'll be just people there that like kind of stare at you, and sometimes they're great, but I like the working class people that come to those clubs.
Like Connecticut probably has a great, great crowd.
Connecticut has some good crowds, but
why does Joe Rogan hate Connecticut?
Connecticut's like it's almost nothing. It's like it has I know you love it, but
not from there.
I know, but didn't you? This is like me and you. We have a lot of similarities.
Yeah.
I'm from Long Island. You're from Connecticut. That's where we literally almost destroyed our lives.
Right.
And all we talk about is how great
it is.
All we talk about is how great they are. Our behavior while in those two places was almost horrible and criminal and deadly.
And all I can talk about is the pizza.
Yeah.
They got great pizza there. What are you talking about? You did heroin for 10 years.
I would do coke all night and then wait for a bagel place to open. And I talk about it like it's the greatest place it's ever been. Connecticut, Long Island, very similar. A lot of white trash.
Yeah.
A lot of good food. And a lot of nothing else. Like, well, it's not a cultural place.
And a massive disparity between wealth and
absolutely.
Like you got the Hamptons out there, and then 2 seconds later you got the Walt Whitman Mall.
And that's Connecticut. You have Greenwich, and then you have something
New
else.
Haven, Bridgeport.
Yeah, New Haven, yeah. Or, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's not the worst place, but it ain't great.
You're pretty pretty out there sometimes.
Oh boy.
I hope so.
I'm just connecting some dots here.
Yeah.
This picture on your Instagram.
Yes.
I met this kid 3 years ago, and I've watched him become the best podcast producer in LA, an amazing video editor, and the guy I count on more than anyone. He is transitioning tomorrow, and I am buying him a pussy. He will then be fired as a woman, but it's been a great run. That's the guy over there, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. In my defense, I wanted a male producer, and that's why he has to go. But
that's your choice. Is that? I mean, it's your
my
choice.
I'm gonna buy him a puss, and I call him. No, but in all seriousness, I do call my business manager every now and then just for fun, and I go because I have two guys that I pay that work with me, and I go, listen, they're both transitioning. This is crazy, the coincidence. But we gotta pay, and like my business manager like has to like be like.
Well, you have to pay for like, the surgery.
He has to kind of be serious about it. He knows I'm kidding.
Right, right,
still,
right.
He still has to be like, I'm like, dude, this is like blindsiding me. It's catching me. I had no idea, but like they're dealing with things. So like, can we start them on hormones? And then he goes, there's a lot of complex. And I'm like, dude, I'm kidding around. Merry Christmas. I called him at Christmas.
Has he bought you the puss?
No.
No.
Not yet. No, we're taking him to Texas though. How nice. No pussies there.
Lots of good. I'll be sending you
better
good
put
vibes,
those feelings
though.
Right back deep in you and cover them up with brisket.
Sending you good energy.
Yeah, we'll be sending you good energy, man. Every day.
Do you ever talk to Sacha Baron Cohen?
I've never talked to him. He's a brilliant guy. I've never spoke to him. It would be interesting to speak to him because I think he's one of the greatest comedic minds ever. But then he does say some things about online stuff and censorship where I just want to understand why he feels the way he feels more, because I disagree when I hear him, but maybe there's things that he could enlighten me on that make me...
He's pro censorship.
He's very much pro that, and I'm
that's
not.
So interesting.
Yeah, he's very much,
especially for him.
Especially for him, but I think he feels it like companies like Facebook and stuff, like they really have to clamp down, and Twitter and stuff like that. Whereas I feel like that's a real slippery slope, and it ends in a bad place. But again, he's a guy I have so much respect for comedically that be interesting to see hear why he felt. I think he feels that way because he wants a better world and he wants people to be treated better and respected.
Yeah, his intent is good.
His intent's good. I just feel like getting there through censoring people isn't the way to do it because it's all the issue of who's doing the censoring, why they're doing the censoring.
What's your opinion on, does anything need to be censored? And parlay sure. that to Twitter just is testing a tool right now, I think called like Birdwatch or something. I can't remember what it was, where the community is able to actually vote on the...
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Idea.
I know.
Horrible idea.
Well, they don't like you.
But here's what I think it does. I think it democratizes the decision making around it. So as opposed to just Jack saying, yo, this dude can't be here, it then trickles down to 100 other people who make a decision.
There's gotta be a process where like if you are accused of something or if they want to get rid of you, you should have to have the ability to defend yourself.
Right.
Like, there's gotta be some transparency. They can't just say your account is locked and suspended forever. There's got to be some transparency, like here's why we want you out and here's what you can do about it. And there should be some type of process. I think that's the way you got to do it. But like if you're harassing people or you know, being, doxing people, putting out their information, advocating, you know, trying to hurt them or something, I get where it gets sticky and people might have to go.
Well, it's not sticky. They have to. At the end of the day, there's a responsibility there to protect the lives.
But it's just the lines of all that stuff's very weird, right? Because people harass me all the time. People say shit about me. It's fine. It's like... I put out a lot of stuff. I say a lot of crazy stuff. If people say it back to me, that's okay. So the internet's got to make room for that. There's got to be a space for people to tell you a lot of things about you that you don't like, right? That's the whole thing.
Well, I think they could still do that. But I think the part that people leave out a lot of times is since these are private organizations, a lot of times they're limiting liability that could then be used against them.
Yeah,
and so like if somebody's on a rampage and just skirting the line of free speech, but kind of encouraging violence, like as soon as that goes over the line, they then get sued for you know, being liable. They could be found liable and lose money as a result of it. So I think it is, as you said, a very, very tricky
place. Yeah, there's a space there. And I'm not one of these people that's like, everything should be allowed. It's like, there's got to be a space. But like, I think you just got to know, you should, if you're a user of one of these, you should have the right to know why you're being taken off and if there's anything you can do about it.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I make jokes all the time where I go, that joke could be seen by somebody and they could go, we don't like this guy. Some of my podcasts are demonetized on YouTube. I don't know why. It just happens. So I think that like, there's all these algorithms and stuff. Nobody really understands why any of
that
happens.
Now that's a
nobody
big,
gets it.
That's a big one. The YouTube one's a big one.
Our
that's
first
a complete
episode back, demonetized and shadow. It's,
is not, it yes, really God, yeah. You started the episode by moaning sexually very sexually and I because that was the hook we used, so obviously
that should be monetized.
Well,
you
no
get
I,
money
from
that.
Like the, from a sex toy company
yeah,
or
from
something
somewhere.
Adam and Eve as you yeah. as you
we
know
just, we, yeah. It's 2021
right. Yeah
what
yeah
my grandparents have seen it, lived it. TikTok kids view it every day on Instagram. Yeah. Instagram is porn.
It's sex. It's porn.
Instagram is porn.
Yeah.
If I was 12 years old,
right,
I no longer have to go to my dad's Playboy magazine,
right,
where I see a little Pamela Anderson butt cheek,
right,
just a little.
Yeah.
It's all on Instagram now.
It's all there.
I'm fascinated. Kids are growing up so quick.
And that's one of the cleanest ones. I mean, at the end of the day, we're having
fans.
But the biggest one and the biggest offender is Twitter. I can go on Twitter right now and watch a naked woman saw another woman's head off. Right now on Twitter.
Right.
I accidentally ended up on a page the other day and it was in some Middle Eastern country.
You know what?
And well, she was sawing
ads,
a woman's
They don't have
How
ads.
How did you accidentally stumble upon that?
Someone liked a post of mine and I clicked it to see who is this. You know,
are you fucking around?
Like in that murdering? No. Oh, like am I getting involved in the murder?
No.
I'm dead serious. So someone
Probably
was. I reported. I actually
poor
reported. I reported the page.
I
thought
Mike,
I showed
Mike,
up.
Mike is the good guy in this. He's
I
like,
have, fuck you.
I watched.
No, you can't show.
I
this.
Watched the murder porn.
No, when I saw the
and
saw.
Then I reported the page. I'm now launching an investigation on my another channel.
Me and Gavin Newsom are launching it. And Dr. Fauci.
So Twitter doesn't have those ads in the middle of it because the problem is like if you watch a naked woman saw off someone's head and then it's like Chabon. Flips. That's
the problem.
Because then Chabani's like, we don't want
to
be.
No problem to demonetize beheadings.
Right.
Good point.
I think that's reasonable.
But even more,
that's my line. Beheadings is my line. But if it's just heads talking, I go deal with it. Grow up. But
what if the head keeps talking after being beheaded?
Or if I watch one of the beheading videos and go, this is kind of fun, then it's got to stay. If they're funny and it's good, then it's got to stay.
But Twitter's the place. You can go to Twitter. You can see full on gangbang, like all that stuff, right?
And they have dictators of foreign countries saying crazy things about all kinds of people, and you know, so that's where they run into this hypocrisy problem, where it's like they get rid of certain people, but then there's certain people they leave on
so
who are saying
weird.
Crazy stuff.
All these social media sites are tailored to your interests in some way. Right? There's an algorithm.
Sure,
it's gaming. You figure out figuring out what you like, what your personality is.
Yeah.
So that concerns me. The the naked beheading with you.
No, it
doesn't surprise me.
It was someone. So
I don't want to hear it. Can I ask you a personal question?
That's a very interesting algorithm. Yes, of course.
What's your Instagram explore page look like?
Good looking dudes, food, and houses.
Can we pull it up, or is that
we don't have to?
Okay. That's exactly what it is. It's got shirtless dudes, houses. And food, restaurants.
I got concerned about myself yesterday on my Instagram Explore page.
What did you have?
Women, beautiful women everywhere.
Well, it's not
quite concerning.
That's the thing, right?
Overwhelming amount.
Mm.
And I realized it's like,
that's the content.
I mean,
what the fuck am I doing?
What did you think was going to be? What do you think was going to be there? They're like books.
Zebras.
It used to be Pokemon. But it's concerning because, you know, you reflect back on your behavior.
Yes.
And what have I been
observing, admiring?
What am I doing?
Yeah, but that's what we're supposed to look at. Instagram, you're supposed to look at what you find good looking and aspirational stuff, right? So I'm like, I'd love to own that house.
Yeah.
I'd love to
own that man.
The house and
I'd love
food,
to own that dude.
House and food makes sense.
I'd love to own that person.
But are you ever, like, what do you want?
I'd love to own that
Beef
Wellington.
I don't send any DMs. I'm like, I'm kind of a pussy.
I don't send shit either. Yeah.
So you just look. You're just looking.
I just look.
Just wasting your time looking.
I just look. Every now and then I'll do something like really like I'll DM an actor. I'll be like, hey man, that show rocked. And they'll be like, thanks. Or they'll be like big fan. They'll be like, hey, your stuff's really funny. And I'm like, great. And that's
conversation
where it
dies.
Ends. It's over. What are they gonna send me their dick? It's over right after that.
Why don't you try opening?
That's where I won't do. But I'll be like, hey man, this rocks or something. And then that's it, it's over.
Have you tried opening with something a little more exotic? Like,
yeah, that's
like
a good point.
Just, I mean, you know, like complimenting someone's work, they hear that all day.
I always talk like an agent, like I messaged somebody the other day, I'm like, you're gonna do great things in this business. Like, I didn't even know what I'm saying. Like, it's the least sexual thing you could ever
say.
That's what I said. I messaged them, I'm like, yo, dude, you're an amazing actor. You're gonna do big things in this business.
No, you're doing it.
And they're like, that means a lot. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm your father now. This is insane.
You're doing it all wrong. That's the equivalent. That's the equivalent of sending good energy.
Yeah,
that was the answer.
You're right.
Here's what I would do next time.
Okay,
send an ad from a local pamphlet for an $89 air conditioner that's on sale randomly.
Okay.
it will spark a conversation. You have no idea where it's going to go, but it's much better than sending good energy.
Do either one of you have advice as well?
I haven't sent a DM in a while. That's a good point.
That's an interesting.
Well, here's the thing. No, because I think that's funny.
Mike's like, offer them heroin. I'm like, you haven't done this in a while.
Oh my God.
I think that's funny, right? The air conditioning.
No, that is funny.
If a girl sent an air conditioner to me, or a toaster, or any object that's random.
Right. Sometimes I think that's because you guys are guys and you're horny. They can send you a toe.
Wait, why does that? An air conditioner. It's actually supposed to be the opposite.
If the girl's hot, she can send you anything and you'd be like, oh, yeah, dude, let's hang out. I'll get lunch.
No.
But if a girl receives a fucking
quirk. It is a pressure test for that woman or man. Send a woman an air conditioner that says $89 on sale today. And if they say, what is this? Leave me alone.
I can just imagine five years from now, the LA Times, there's like a big article. They're like, we call him the air conditioner rapist. We call him the air conditioner.
He sends $89 air conditioners to his victims.
Yeah, so he would start with a photo of an air conditioner, and then someone from the set of Cobra Kai would disappear.
Great show, by the way.
Phenomenal. Third season's ridiculous.
No, don't say it. I'm on season 2.
No, but if they come back and they're like, my father started that company.
Right.
And then you're like, are you fucking serious? And they're like, no, you fucking idiot. I'm playing with you. What's good though? Now all of a sudden you have found a girl that can hold a conversation.
It's much better than what I'm doing. What I'm doing is trying to be like some type of sage wise. Like, it's like the worst thing ever to be like, you are going to be great. I'm telling you this. You will succeed. It's the worst idea.
It's getting hard, Tim.
It's tough.
To meet people in the pandemic.
It's tough. Yeah.
We used to send videos, comedy videos. Yeah.
We used to.
We used to make sketches.
Hey, guess what?
What?
They weren't comedy videos.
They were sketches.
No, because I went back and looked at some of these old
ones
we
sent.
They're not funny.
I had to
hear one.
Okay, let me give you an example. I went out with this girl and I saw her on a billboard. We were shopping and I go, hey, mom, help me out with this. And the video was this. I saw her and I go, hey, I just saw your billboard. And my mom interrupts me. She goes, hey, I know you're trying to DM that girl. She's out of your league. Enough of that. And I was like, no. And I kept it rolling, but it was just like our shoulders.
Yeah.
Like, no, my mom, like, back me up. She's like, no, you're ugly. She's not going to like you. And then I'll put the camera on Facebook. All right, it was worth a try. And then they would just die of laughter.
It's not, that's kind of fun and
it's
cute.
Better than
You probably had to be there.
Corny now. I think.
Maybe now. I mean,
yeah.
I think you. I,
it would have been funnier if your mom turned around and you were like, you're a father. You have two children. You need to focus on your children. Your mom, shut up. I want to have another kid with you. And then you look at her and you go, I want to have my other kid with you. Something like that, I think, is funny.
No, I don't think you can lead with nuanced comedy.
No, you can't.
I don't think you can.
Dude,
because they don't know you. They don't know you.
That's what the video's for. I never type because anything you say sounds creepy. Like, especially in air.
No, it's not. George, listen, I guarantee you I have a higher hit rate on DMs and you probably have never sent a fucking DM. I used to do this for a living. All I'm saying is this. All you're trying to do is get your foot in the door and spark a reaction.
It's pretty good.
So listen. It doesn't have to be an air conditioner. It could be, we used to do dancing girl emoji. I would do the surfing guy.
Right.
And then it just all you're trying to do is spark a conversation without brick to forehead hitting them with either you're hot, do you want to see my dick, or you're going to be a great actor
How about do you want to make $1,000?
Hilarious. Also, as long as you're ready for what they say back.
That's funny. And I'll give you $1,000. So that it's all. But I don't know, because I talked to you about this a while ago, where it's like sometimes it is hard to talk to someone. Like, I'm so used to talking to like large groups of people.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is tough to talk to like a person.
Dog.
Like, I've had a girl. Dude, it's like hard.
It's hard to talk to like a person.
Yeah.
As opposed to
a wall,
like a group air of people. Conditioner. Or like,
singular. All right,
I'd rather talk to 300 people sometimes than like one person.
Hello, it's me, Logan. We interrupt this program to bring you yet another word from our sponsors. Is there something interfering with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals?
Yeah.
BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. This is fantastic. Mm-hmm. What a great sponsor.
Probably help me stop sweating, potentially.
Hopefully, yeah. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. The service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily. BetterHelp.com/Logan. That's Better H-E-L-P. And join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Impulsive listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/Logan. Back to the program. I had a girl way back in the day. I was hooking up with her, and she said, "Can we stop for 1 second?" I said, "Sure."
Yeah.
She goes, "You're like really weird and turning me off more than anyone in my life."
That is.
Wait, in the middle of having sex?
We weren't there yet, right? Role play. Role play? Sorry, foreplay.
Okay, I was like, how much role play is going on in this house?
But you had the wherewithal and confidence at that moment to know that she's fucking dumb, right? Like, you didn't look back and
we were on the same
page.
That's
what I'm saying.
What did you do that turned her off that
quick? Nothing out of the ordinary for me. Right? Just like,
could you elaborate a little bit?
Nuanced, like funny jokes, like being fucking, I don't know, me. Just being me. And she wasn't pretty bland ass, vanilla ass girl. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes there's no chemistry.
It just doesn't work.
Doesn't line up.
Yeah, what did you say? Do you say something back? Like,
I think I said something like, that seems about right.
Oh, okay. That's a great way. That's kind of great.
I have no objective here. I'm just like, I don't know, leave.
You're saying that's about right. What if I just DM'd people? That's about right.
That's about right.
That's about right. And then put the ball in their court. Then you come back.
Make it a question.
And you.
That's about right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's about right. Question mark. Let's go.
Also, one last thing on it. Don't ever fucking message DM someone. Don't make it be like the first thing they see in your thing. We've talked about this a long time ago, all the time. Okay. Always respond to stories.
Smart. Go
through their thing, find something relatable, something funny, something that you could spark a combo around, and then respond to their story because they have already.
I'll wait days to find the perfect story.
Yeah, they've already put themselves out there.
Patience.
Put themselves out there in a state where they're expecting a level of feedback.
Yes.
So they're like, "Yo, this is my new air conditioner. Like, I got it for sale, $89 at the local home improvement store.
What do you think of this air conditioner?"
Like, on their story, and then that's the alley oop. Wow, that looks like the 3,500 cubic foot model.
I can't wait till the first air conditioner I send. I'm deplatformed like right afterwards, and I call Mike. I go, "Dude, what happened? I just sent an air conditioner."
It was like a dual meaning.
You know who got Halsey pregnant?
I don't.
Me either.
Are you saying it's me?
It's up in the air.
We've fucked a lot, because I like her, the whiny nature of her, whatever she does. And, but I'm dating Billie Eilish.
Oh, how's that going?
Wait, is she legal now?
She's legal, yeah.
How is it?
It's very sad. She's very moody, a little emo for my taste. Uh-huh. It's a little sad and a little vegan for my liking.
Where'd you meet?
Where did we meet? I was, I don't know, some seance. I don't know what she does. Have you seen the documentary about her? The documentary about her is like a horror movie where it's like dun, 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 and she's clearly very talented, but like the doc that's coming out about her now, it's like this horrific horror.
Why?
I don't know. I'm like, everything's okay. You're doing well. Yeah. It's like that Dixie D'Amelio girl, that song, "Sometimes I Don't Want to Be Happy." It's like, no, you're going to be happy and you're going to be fucking happy now. 800,000 people a week are filing for unemployment. You're singing in a mansion. You're going to be happy or we're going to throw you in a volcano. I'm sorry, but I don't care. Money doesn't make you happy. Shut up. Like, you can't release a song during a pandemic and an economic collapse and go, "Sometimes I don't want to be happy." It's like, you got to be happy.
It's relatable.
Bieber dropped Lonely.
They're relatable.
Right? Well, he was writing about his life.
And it's not relatable because I guarantee you that you can, "Sometimes I don't want to be happy." First of all, it's the lyrics, because she's going, "Sometimes I don't want to be happy."
So sometimes I don't want to be happy. It's like, it's basically like saying,
oh, like she has it.
Like she's going, sometimes I just want to be a cunt. You know, it's like just, that's the song really. Sometimes I want to be a bitch and ruin a dinner. It's like, you have to just, I like them. I'm pro all everyone, but just, I just, cause in my head somewhere, I'm like, you'll never be able to collab with her now. Like, why would you? That's how sick I am. I got to get out of here. I got to go to Texas. Cause in my head, I went, you'll never be able to.
I think people get it. People get it. You're a comedian.
Yeah, I'm a comedian. Right? The TikTok kids are actually the coolest kids in the world at laughing, cause they're living these amazing lives. So like, if you make fun of them, they think it's great. Like, they're actually so much cooler than like a lot of comedians I know who are super sensitive. It's weird. Right.
It might be a generational thing.
I think it might be. Yeah.
Think about it. These kids grew up getting bullied online. Right. All of them.
Yeah. Right.
All of the TikTok stars.
Right.
Because until you're famous, attempting to be a TikTok star is not cool.
It's not cool. That's right. I realized that because they were like, yeah, I used to get beat up and bullied doing this. And now they're like the cool kids at the
happened to me and Jake.
That's crazy.
Probably right.
Yeah, but also
Yeah.
I bet you they also
it's a slogan.
I bet you at the end of the day the TikTok stars also have already come to terms with the nature of their like being on this planet. They're like, yo, I'm famous for hitting woes and bus it challenges.
And it's
like
great.
Like Dave Chappelle.
Right.
He deserves some fucking respect. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't talk shit to Dave Chappelle. He's a fucking legend.
Right. Some of them are.
But like the person on TikTok that's like, you know, I don't even know what they're doing over there. You probably know better than I do. Like,
well, I think it's a lot of dancing is what I've observed.
Yeah, they've come to terms with the fact that they're
like
not
so
even.
I'm like so opposite on your guy. I'm like, yo, if you got the bag doing that, you're a winner to me.
That's
like,
what I feel.
Yeah, like
we're not calling them losers.
No. I feel like that too.
You know, fuck with them.
I personally don't think finance dictates any kind of like artsmen. You know, our craftsmanship.
They're crafty though, because like
do you see the dumbest people make money? I mean, fucking redneck morons make hundreds of millions of dollars. Right. That doesn't make me respect them any fucking more.
Well, it gives them a little something. You go, hey, they live. It's a little something. It gives them a little something.
Do you have anyone online, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube that you follow and like appreciate? Maybe as an up and coming young creator that you think is actually
that kid Alex Warren had on. I think is a funny guy. I watched his episode of this. I think I don't watch a ton of YouTube stuff, but I watched his episode of Impulsive because I know you're a huge fan of him. Mm-hmm. So I thought he was kind of like a funny kid. Mm. But it's a very different medium to the medium that I'm in. But I will appreciate it. Like I do watch some stuff.
Casey Fry.
I don't know too much about him, but I know that I have friends that really like him.
He's amazing.
Yeah, it's like Cody Coe's a buddy of mine. He's a good dude. Like I watch his stuff. Like it's very different and interesting. Vlogs and all of that. Like, I don't really, some of them I watch and I'm like, yeah, this is really entertaining. And some of them I watch and go, I don't get
this,
but it's okay. It's not for me.
The three people you just named are all insanely talented.
Yeah.
Actually talented. Like Cody is fucking hilarious.
Very hilarious, funny and very talented guy. And, I think there's a lot of people like H3H3 makes me laugh. Ethan makes me laugh a lot. Like those people I think I appreciate everybody who's figured something out. I think that's, so with the TikTok kids, they figured something out. Mm. Yeah. So to me, the most interesting thing in the world is figuring something out, even if the thing you figured out isn't for me, because so much stuff's not for me.
Right, right.
But if you figured something out, that's a hell of a lot more interesting to me than somebody not figuring something out and complaining.
Where do you think it leads though? Because, and I've always been very anti-TikTok and I know-
It leads Orange County. Marrying an ex-baseball player and then going into one of those churches where they're like, Jesus, and you're like rocking out and there's a guy in like an electric Baptist. Guitar and you live in Newport Beach and you have huge tits and then there's Botox. It becomes the Real Housewives of Orange County. That's exactly where it leads. I mean, that's what I think it leads.
But what I'm saying is, I mean, as the bar continues to get lowered for what is acceptable content or like even like championed content. Right. And you look at people like Scorsese and they're just like, that dude didn't do the fucking bust it challenge.
It's bad.
Why do I give a shit what Scorsese directed 20 years ago? He hasn't done one challenge on TikTok.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, where does it go? Like, what's next after TikTok?
It's crazy. But here's the thing. Maybe art, maybe really cool shit. Maybe it goes swings back.
Oh,
the
you
other
think
way.
So?
No, I don't.
Just making sure.
I think it gets worse and worse and worse.
But I also think there's going to be, people are just going to find people they really resonate with. And then they're going to, that's why like, I'm like more pumped about like setting up my own thing in Texas, and like building a big studio and doing what, maybe building a stage in my backyard and doing shows there if I want. Like, I think everyone's going to be super independent, and I think everyone will collaborate with each other and do stuff. But I think that like scenes are maybe dying out a little bit, which is sad, because I think all of us to some degree were in a scene, and that's how you collaborate with people. But I think now, especially in the comedy world, guys like Andrew Schultz, we talk all the time, and like, you got to have your own little world and operate from within it. So we can make whatever we think is good, and we don't need networks and we don't need anybody. But yeah, are you going to get Goodfellas? Probably not.
You ever seen WALL-E? The movie WALL-E. Yeah. You know those fat people that just sit in the cars, they have no bone structure anymore.
Those are my those are my parents.
That's what's coming.
Those are my parents. Yeah.
That's what's coming. That's
no, it's good. Bad. Yeah, it's all bad. I mean, listen, it's not good. It's a blatant money grab. It's nothing coming is good. That being said, it'll be funny, maybe.
When the scenes come back around and hopefully the coronavirus is cured.
Right. Yes.
For good. What do you think is gonna happen? Do you think people are gonna go crazy? Drugs, alcohol, sex?
I think for a little while. I think for a little while it's the roaring 20s, a party.
Yeah, for sure.
And then I think people, here's the problem with that. Nobody has any money. The problem is the economy, right? Oh. So like, that's the real issue.
He didn't know that.
Well, it's
no one he's has sitting on a bag.
Well, a lot of people, it's tough, right? If you look at the unemployment numbers, rise in poverty, it's tough. So like, I think young people in their 20s and stuff, they're gonna go out. But are you like, if people in their late 20s, 30s with kids and stuff, they're just looking to work so they can live. Mm. So yeah, there's going to be like a party for a little bit, but I think there's also got to be like, let's figure out how do we function as a country where a lot of people aren't working or a lot of people are not making the money they're used to making.
Do you think there's going to be a post-pandemic baby boom?
There could be.
Like a round two of boomers?
I thought that's happening during the pandemic.
I thought so too, but I'm just asking questions.
Yeah. So many people, I think so many people now are so I think people want to, after this pandemic, people want to like do a lot. Like, I don't think they're going to jump into having kids.
Hell no.
I think they're going to go and do stuff they want to do. I think they're going to travel. Like, the main thing I want to do is travel.
Travel, yeah. Right?
So like, when this pandemic's up, I want to schedule shows all over the world and I want to go. So I think that a lot of people are feeling like that. They're like, hey man, the last thing I want to do is like have a kid right now and sit in a house for 18 months.
More travel, less babies.
More travel. I think that's more sex tourism, less babies.
What about medical tourism?
To get like an operation? Well, sure.
I'm gonna have hair put on my head.
In Turkey. Yeah. I mean, I think when this thing ends, everything that we felt during this, which has been the craziest time of my life, I think, we're gonna keep a lot of that. The world will never go back to the way it was.
Crazy.
Never go back to the way it was. This has changed all of us forever.
Someone asked me how long I think people will be wearing masks for.
Forever.
I said 5 years.
5 years, yeah. I mean, society's changed forever.
They scoffed at me.
Yeah, no, you're right.
They couldn't believe it.
You're right. Society's changed forever. There's people that will never go back to an office again and will work from home forever.
Forever.
There's people that will never live in a city again that will live in the suburbs now forever. There are people that will never go to crowded places again and just feel uncomfortable. Like, there are people that just, it's your own level. Because I don't think coronavirus is going to go away. So I think it's just going to be with us, and there'll be better treatments and maybe less vaccines cases, and better testing. But I think it's one of those things where this has permanently changed a lot of, like 9/11 did, where it's like we had a shield of invincibility before 9/11 where we were like, we can't be touched. And then after 9/11, you remember, you never quite felt exactly how you felt pre 9/11. You always go to an airplane, you always take your shoes off, always on an airplane now for a lot of us. There's just this weird little thought that never existed pre 9/11. We're like, something could go wrong.
Yep.
And that never. So I think with this too, every now and then, like, you'll be sitting somewhere 2 years from now and someone will go, and you'll go, it's like a horror movie. You'll be like, you'll just run to Target and get toilet paper. You'll be like, are we going again? Round three? I start another podcast? Like, you don't know.
It's wild.
It's really wild.
I'll be watching movies and there'll be gatherings, you know, outside of a club, wherever the scene. And I have a visceral reaction.
Yeah.
Wow. Remember those days? People used to packed together like sardines in a can inside the club and in lines. They used to wait in lines in groups.
I'm a New York guy, so I remember when we used to cram on a subway to the point where I would feel like a hand touching me and it would be like some woman holding a baby and the baby's like just playing with my face. I would turn around and I would be like, hey man, like that was New York and I lived there for years. And it's sad because like, I don't know the next time I'm going to feel comfortable doing that.
Now, touching a baby's face.
Yeah. I don't want to get beaten up by a Puerto Rican toddler anymore. No, but I don't know when that's all going to be back to normal.
Well, New York's the exact opposite of Miami. They went the whole other direction.
Right.
I mean, you go there now and there's, you know, those little things fly across. No, they go across the street.
Yeah.
Somebody goes.
Well, it's the leadership. It's the leadership. It's like Bill de Blasio, Andrew Cuomo. They're very bad at their jobs. And it didn't matter when they didn't have to do them or they had to do them. But then when they had to do their jobs and they couldn't do them effectively, it was a real, they doomed New York. And New York will be fine. It'll come back. It's a great city. But at the end of the day, it's in trouble. And LA is in trouble.
Yeah.
LA is in trouble. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I don't know what, you know, it's a time horizon. It's like, when's this thing going to come back? I don't know.
Are you talking about Corona?
No, I'm talking about like cities like Los Angeles.
Yeah,
when is LA going to come back?
It's fine.
Yeah.
I think because Biden just printed, what, $3 trillion?
Yes.
$3 trillion extra dollars?
Well, so you're going to pay for that. No, someone's paying for it. Yeah. That's the problem. Shit. That's the issue.
Okay, shit.
Yeah.
They'll come after. I'm a YouTube fucking box.
Yeah.
ask Bryce Hall for the fucking
money. Yeah. Get it from the Sway House.
Or Michael Gruen.
Yeah.
I think we have a gift for you.
Oh my God.
We have a fan here.
Oh wow.
No, an actual fan, like a rotating.
Yeah.
Same place I bought the air conditioner.
Jake, bro, do you have a gift?
I do have a gift.
Oh, thank
okay,
you.
Okay, we do have a gift. Yeah. Okay.
Wait, can we
a gun? Is this where I get killed?
Yes.
Don't that's okay if it happens.
Like the Joker?
Fight for the monetization.
Just as a preface, this dude has watched everyone from Mike Tyson to every single person, you know, that's been on the show walk into the show. And he messaged me today and he said, yeah, I'm hearing rumblings that Tim Dillon's coming on the show. I'm like, our homie, Timmy D, he's been on before. Like, we're friends with the guy. He's like, I have to get him something. I have to get him a gift. I'm like, Jake, what the fuck? Come on.
That's so sweet. Thank you so much.
No problem, he lives in the studio.
It's also a really strange gift.
Before you leave L.A.
Dude, I appreciate this so much.
Just an
Thank
envelope.
You so much. Oh, it's a gift certificate to Craig's. Yeah. I fucking love Craig's. Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
I love this. Thank you, dude. I really appreciate this.
Enjoy. And they just opened restaurants.
No,
right?
I appreciate this, and this is good.
Yeah,
this is
outdoor.
The amount of this is half of one appetizer, so I like. I think that's very.
How much? How much? I have to know.
$50.
Jake.
At Craig's.
Jake.
At Craig's. It'll Craig's. Be,
hey,
that's water.
On,
no,
stop,
no.
Stop.
I appreciate. It. Listen,
leave the kid.
I
alone.
Do appreciate. Listen, this is very nice. I appreciate it. Thank you so
he
much.
He shorted.
I love Craig's.
He shorted GameStop.
I love Craig's.
He lost everything he had.
I'm like, yeah, it's not a lot. Somebody goes, he's homeless. I'm like, oh, thank you so much. Like, he lives in a tent outside this house. He's doing something nice for you. I'm like, well, God, thank you. No, thank you, dude. I appreciate it.
When did you get that?
I drove down there today.
Well, thank you, brother. Dude. Do you listen to the podcast?
That means more to me.
Every episode. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You need help?
Yeah, I don't even know what this is, but this is no. Thank you.
No, I mean, like,
you ruined the envelope.
This is made out of boxes that people in LA could live in. That's how bad things are. But thank you very much.
Do you have an untitled Tim Dillon project? Are you working on
that?
No,
is that true?
No, this is all wrong.
What's
that
happening
thing
here?
It's all wrong. I did have an untitled Tim Dillon project, but it didn't work. Like, it was a pilot with Comedy Central. It didn't go anywhere.
What's wrong with those people? The people that were supposed to make it go somewhere?
It's who cares? It's like, to me, I'm like, it's funnier online. It's all fun. Know who's watching TV. What are we doing?
That's not TV and movie theaters.
Yeah.
Specifically AMC.
Oh, here we go.
I agree. Okay.
They're booming.
Hey, when I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
They're booming.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not just like you said, it's not just TV and movie theaters. It's primarily AMC. Those three letters as a movie
AMC
theater.
I love AMC because it's the best theater and it's the best experience.
Yeah, overall. It seems like a company that has great technicals and will just continue to.
I also miss BlackBerries. I also miss my BlackBerry.
BlackBerry and my Nokia.
I got to be honest.
You know Kevin?
Yeah.
Told me?
Yeah.
He said that Soul, the movie Soul.
Yes.
Disney Pixar movie Soul.
The Spanish movie?
Soul.
S-O-L? I'm curious.
S-O-U-L?
Oh, okay. Soul.
He said it was streamed 1.7 billion times.
Crazy.
And 1.7 billion
Kevin, I'll fucking kill you.
No. What?
Kevin.
What is it?
And Kevin, I will throw you off a cliff.
Well, that's great. I haven't seen
it. I have a podcast and I need to do business.
Yeah.
And the people trust me to say statistically and factually true statements.
You're going in the volcano with the D'Amelios because of that one.
I got a weight class wrong in the last podcast. It's been eating me alive. I said a welterweight was a 200-pound. I know that's not. It's cruiserweight.
What is Soul?
Why did I say that?
What is Soul movie?
You haven't seen Soul?
I've never
watched
it
twice.
Good? Is it really good?
Do you like animated films?
Yeah, I'll do it.
You just watch it. It's a.
What's it about?
It's about
life.
Yeah.
It's about life. It makes you really appreciate finding
one's purpose.
Okay.
It'll make you feel good.
Jamie
1.7
Fox
million what?
Minutes.
Kevin.
My
thesis, the thing I was going to say following it, now makes no sense. It was minutes. I guess the point is
hold on, well, that's still a lot of fucking watch.
That's
time.
What I'm saying.
Why are we arguing?
Yeah, it's a lot. That's a lot.
That's
a big difference between streams and minutes.
It's a huge difference.
I guess the difference, or what I was trying to say, was it was fascinating how on opening weekend, like at the box office, the biggest movies you'd watch for them to cross that 1B mark, right? Avengers is opening weekend is going to cross 1 billion. And a digital release now in the form of Soul is the numbers are
massive,
comparable.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's the new world, man. That's a new world. So I think that's just what's going to be the future.
Do you have a place you'd like to house some sort of show? Like if you had
Netflix is a good platform.
Are you working on
I'm working on stuff, but I mean, I think that like at the moment, because of where the world is right now, like podcasts and then eventually doing live stand-ups, great. And then once we can really start working and putting people back in a room and having people collaborate and everybody's not worried about this crazy thing, then I'm like, let's make all kinds of cool, crazy shit. Mm. But at the moment, it's harder and harder to do. So I think once this starts to open up and normalize, then I want to make all kinds of stuff. But at the moment, it's a lot of work. And I think that I could just channel that creative energy into the podcast and the videos I do and live shows and stuff like that. But like, I'd love to do it, make a film. I'd love to raise capital. I'd love to do all that. And I think I could when things get to a point where you can do that stuff easier.
I want to make a film so bad.
You can make, you've made one, right?
I've made a couple. I've written 2 scripts. It takes a lot of time.
It's a lot of time.
And there's something about the closed nature of this particular moment in time that we're living in that sort of hinders my creativity. On traditional Hollywood projects now, writers' rooms are taking place on Zoom.
Zoom calls.
It's not a writer's room, it's a writer's Zoom.
Dude, it's hard even as a comedian. I tell my producer, sometimes we have to drive to Vegas to go to dinner because we were closed down for months. I'm like, I just got to go observe stuff because it's hard for me to be funny when I can't go out and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not living a life, it's very hard to like convert experiences into comedy because there's no experiences.
Exactly.
And I did all of this jokes about Corona and all that stuff 6 months ago, 7 months ago. Yeah. So it's like, it's hard to like.
You have to live.
You have to live.
You have to go move around, do something.
You got to live.
A
lot of artists will. I knew an artist that would put herself in devastating
scenarios.
Relationships, right? That she knew were destined to tank just for inspiration. She would intentionally go into a relationship hoping to have her heart broken, just to have something to write about. Because a lot of times, when you're emotional,
that's
the
good
stuff.
You're
the most creative you've ever been.
That's the good stuff.
It's so weird. That's why so many artists, the best artists are so, they're sad.
Yeah, right.
A lot
even
of times.
Even comedy comes from dark places.
Yeah, it always, a lot of it does. Yeah, a lot of mine does. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of it. So it's hard. I've done really good during this period because there is a lot of opportunities to make people laugh about really dark stuff because you have to laugh about stuff and the news is just really bleak. Mm. So it's been pretty good, you know? So. And the news shows no signs of the bleakness doesn't seem to be abating.
Have you taken any precautions should everything go to shit? Talking like apocalypse type. You got a gun? You got a
I'll have guns in Texas. I'll have guns in Texas.
How many?
2.
Okay. Where are you putting them? In a safe?
I'm going to put one in the refrigerator. Cool. So I know where it is. And then I will have one, I don't know, probably I'll leave it on the stand right by the door. So if somebody comes in, I'll just have a note that says, just kill me. Just don't wake me up. Just kill me. And hopefully they'll just figure it out.
No bunker?
No, there's no bunker. But I tend to believe that if the apocalypse happens, it happens. It's going to be one of those things where it's like, if it all goes to shit, it's all going to go to shit. And even if you survive 5 days more than somebody else, it's like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm concerned about that. I don't know if I want to live to be like, well, that was the Hollywood sign. Like, I don't need to be that guy.
Well, that could be your movie, right?
That's a good point.
If you live throughout it, right, the world builds.
It's called This Is the End, but with Seth Rogen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also, if that happens, there's
it's such an movie. LA. It's such an LA conversation to be like, if everything ends and everyone's dead, where are you and what is your content? What are you, how do you turn that to your advantage? Mass starvation, nuclear attacks.
Hold on. This is only a half conversation. Yo, middle how America you, is yeah. is prepared for the, I asked you this question.
They're prepared.
They would rattle
where,
off.
Where you grew up, people are prepared.
My dad they're has prepared. Two knives on him at all times.
Right.
Guess where? You'll never guess.
I don't know.
Neck.
Ball sack.
All sack.
That's not
neck.
The fucked up thing.
He goes, he shows me his knife. He always whips it out like this. You've seen it. Always.
Yeah.
It's like a little whip.
It's smart. It is
and
smart.
And he has one around his neck. You can
yank. Well, everybody, during like the riots and the pandemic, everybody started to get real apocalyptic. Like everybody started
That's what
to,
I'm saying. Yeah, did you take any precautions?
I moved to the desert for 6 months. I went to Palm Springs. I got out of LA. I went out. I left because I was in West Hollywood and every day it was like a problem. So I went out. I rented a house in the desert and I lived there. And then I just came back to the valley, but I got out. So I did take a precaution. I left.
Have you ever seen the show Doomsday Preppers?
Yeah.
Ironically,
they're going to die.
The people that do that show will be the first to die.
They will electrocute themselves.
They do these trials. The trials always fail. Melissa, you were supposed to get to the river faster.
Yeah.
I always look at these people and I say to myself, damn, these are the motherfuckers that are going to be left if the world ends.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Like he talks about GP.
And by the way,
he
talks about GP. Way to spend your life.
Like, yo, GP bad. Is going to be the person bad. That repopulates the earth.
Fauci's right now, but for 30 years, Fauci had to be the loser talking about germs. So all his whole life, Fauci was the guy at the party. He's like, you know, the virus replicates. You go, will you shut up? And now he's right, but who cares? Because you had to be that guy your whole life. Yeah. You had to be, he looks like a virus. Like you had to be a virus
right.
for your entire life to be right at the end. I'd rather just go out. I think if everyone's going out, I'd rather go out than be the guy at the end who's like, well, look at, see.
I got that
water aquifer. Everyone said I was nuts.
Bought extra air conditioners. Yeah. I could stay cool.
They're
eccentric
folks.
Well,
they're eccentric folks for sure. But I always think about, I'm way too logistical.
Yeah.
With the shit. Like if, especially with like some of these underground bunkers, the cause of the global meltdown is always my favorite part.
Right.
It's always different, right? Is EMP, financial market crash, nuclear war.
Right.
Like if, because this is where my mind goes. If you have like an underground bunker, right, and you're preparing for nuclear war, and the nuke goes off, do you get melt?
No,
inside your bunker.
No, because
do
you're
you
safe.
Melt?
No, it, you're
like,
safe.
Do you microwave yourself?
Hold on. The risk from a nuclear blast is only for dying from the initial blast is only relative to the location you are to the initial blast. It's only good for a couple hundred miles maybe. The problem is the radiation that falls afterwards. So if you're underground, you have some sort of purifier or bunker that's going to protect you from the radioactive issue.
There's an earthquake
then,
in your underground bunker.
Well, that's a different story.
Mike sounds like a scientist that Trump hired.
It's the same story.
He's like, yes, this is like one of Trump's
Dr.
experts.
Dr. Fauci.
Like, let's bring out Mike.
But the thing is, if there's a nuclear blast, and you're in an underground bunker, you actually have to be prepared for very long-term living because the next thing that happens is what's called it's called a nuclear winter. And so what happens is the nuclear particles actually block out the sun completely. You won't, their photosynthesis stops happening. And a lot of weird shit happens after nuclear blasts.
Yeah.
A ton of stuff.
Yeah, it almost seems like we should just, if it happens, it happens.
Bro, but
just
as a society, we were going into a depressive state and rioting and looting based on the fact that we had to sit inside and watch Netflix for 6 months because we weren't allowed to go in contact. Imagine if there's an actual issue. fucking issue.
Like, I think if there's a nuclear winter, I think it's going to be a problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we couldn't handle Chili's being closed. I don't think a nuclear winter is going to work.
Great restaurant.
What do you think? I love it.
Look how close they're sitting.
Yeah, maybe they're better friends than we thought originally.
I thought, yeah, well, this is the whole thing.
I just don't remember George starting there.
We're a team.
To be honest, I was thinking about this. I didn't want to say it. And also, that's why I haven't been talking as much. Because I'm like, I've been in my head being like, why am I so close?
I haven't looked at him once. I just sense his presence here.
The mic was right here. He's become a part of me. I was like, yeah.
Even look where your cup is. That's where you were sitting.
This is like this. The mic was here. Hey. Yeah. You like Chili's and Islands, so I assumed you wanted me close to.
No, we're garbage. We've established that. But
I actually do have a question for you now allowed to talk.
What?
Do you feel that society is getting like a little ridiculous with this cancel culture? Do you get scared writing material now? Has it like limited you?
I don't know. I think yes and no. I don't know.
Is there a lot of jokes you write where you're like, fuck that, I'd kill, but
you're just going to find the people that like you now. This is all, you're not going to please everybody. Yeah. So this whole idea of like, the idea that you're going to please everybody is no longer a thing. So the people that like you are going to like you. The people that don't like you are not going to like you. They're going to whine incessantly about it. No one cares. It's kind of like you waste so much energy. So many people that complain about cancel culture, this, that, and the other thing. They're wasting a lot of energy when they could just be find the people that enjoy it. Find the people that dig what you're doing and do it. There's always going to be people that go, I don't like it, or I'm offended, or I don't get it. It's what it is. And you can't help those people. You can explain it to them like once. You could go, here's what I'm trying to do. And they can go, okay, I still don't like it. It's like, cool.
Yeah.
We'll part as friends.
But the good thing for the person on our side of the table is a lot of those people also keep watching.
Yeah.
They keep watching. And I hate to be that guy that's like, yo, just embrace it. But at the end of the day, like some of those ones are the most, you know, fervent watchers of the content.
If you put yourself out in the public in any way, you can't control, and this somebody really smart told me this early on. They were like, you can't control what other people think of you. You just can't.
Right.
So you can put yourself out there, know who you are, do what you want to do. What people think about you is their business. And it's like all of us, you know, we make good livings. We have a lot of freedom. It's like the trade-off is that, yeah, people are going to say shit.
What about those folks who everyone likes? Like 100% or damn near likability. I think of Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Like,
yeah.
Does anyone not like The
Rock? Yeah, there's definitely people that don't like him.
And why?
Well, I don't know why. The main reason is because he got political
now
recently.
The Rock, right.
Got super political recently and said, Joe Biden's my man and Kamala Harris is my girl.
And
like literally lost 50% of
just like him.
Literally lost 50% of his fucking audience.
David Dobrik, everyone seems to like him. He's like a friendly guy.
Yeah, exactly.
But then there are people that are like that, but I don't have an interest in, I want to be a person who can always, you know, like my main concern is being like as funny as I can be. And that's not, you can't think about being liked. So if I'm being really, really funny, that's my main, my allegiance is to that more so than like being liked. And there's a lot of people that make much better livings than I do being liked. God bless them. But my most important thing is like the freedom to kind of be funny and amuse myself and make my friends laugh and make people laugh.
But you have taste, good taste that's also like socially acceptable, right? Like,
yes.
Like the leader of a white supremacy group it wants to be funny and make fucked up jokes to his fellow white supremacists, but that's not in good context in real life.
Yeah, but I can't control that. Here's the thing. You know, these people that everyone wants to get rid of and deplatform and stuff like that, I grew up, they were all ignored. They were ignored. I mean, this is not, they didn't have any political power in this country and they still don't. I mean, you can march around, you can wear a hat, you can put horns on your head, you can do whatever you want. You have no institutional power in this country to really do anything. You know, stop bringing them on CNN. Stop interviewing them. Like, you know what I mean? It's like at the end of the day, these people that are, you know, outside of the mainstream and like just advocating these crazy, you know, pathologies and stuff. Yeah. I mean, I just think the best way to deal with that is to ignore it or counter it on its facts and on the merits and go, here's exactly why you're wrong. Here's why you're an idiot. That's the way we did
but
it for
no,
years.
Yeah, but no one's listening to that. Like if you're bought in, like we had hoped in the beginning of the show that we can bring Alex Jones on the show, which we did as an entertainer. But
that's what he is to us. Sure.
But to his followers and to the people that buy into his cult,
right,
he is a god of sorts, right? In the same way a lot of other people that we've seen that have done things similar yes. to Alex Jones are. Yeah. And so unfortunately, you can't rely anymore on people's ability to separate or stop yeah. believing something because you give them a fact. Facts are yeah. all negotiable at this point.
I agree, but the problem is there's no real better way at the moment, right? Because if you take it out of the hands of people, you're putting it in the hands of someone. So you either want Jack from Twitter to decide, or you want a group of guys from Silicon Valley to decide. Like, at the end of the day, the QAnon thing with Trump, it's a dumb conspiracy theory. Everyone knows it's dumb except the people that believe in it. Mm-hmm. But they've become fodder. We make fun of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
People that believe in that stuff get made fun of. Yeah. Nazis should be made fun of.
Absolutely. Like,
people that believe in absurd things should be made fun of. And there's a lot of power in not taking them seriously.
Yeah.
And I think when everyone takes them seriously, goes, they're a threat, you're actually legitimizing them, and their power base grows instead of just laughing at them. The most yeah. powerful tool to me to deal with a lot of these people is to go, they're a joke.
Like demeaning.
Treat them like a joke.
That doesn't always work.
It doesn't, but
right?
It doesn't always work.
Like, what's the goal? To make them feel stupid or get them out of this fucked up mindset?
Because you're met with denial
and then they want to prove you wrong and they lean in further.
If people are laughing and stuff and they're starting to realize how ridiculous they sound, you have to get people to realize how ridiculous. Do you really think Chrissy Teigen's eating children?
We have literally friends, as I'm sure you do, yeah. that truly believe
yes.
that these people are harvesting children's organs.
But what you
Tom fucking Hanks.
Right.
Yes. Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Run, Forrest, run is running to a preschool to steal children.
But when you
to harvest yeah. their adrenochrome ridden spleens, Tim Dillon.
But when I think if you say it like that enough, people understand how crazy it is. Like, I think if you say it like that enough, like the way you just said
it. Is it a phase, Mom?
I hope it is.
I hope so, huh?
I hope
Well, they took a huge hit last week when
nothing
when
they
didn't
was
come
happen.
Arrest Biden at the inauguration.
That was a tough
or
one.
Or 2 weeks ago, the whole QAnon army
it's tough.
Was supposed to come and arrest Biden. They were supposed to do, I think, a public hanging. And Trump was supposed to be re-exalted as the king of the universe. Not just the United States, the universe.
Yeah.
And so when that intergalactic situation didn't come to fruition,
here's the next thing. They'll all get into healing or crystals or whatever. Like, these people are just going to get into the next bullshit thing. You know what I mean? Whatever it happens to be.
So you think the people that support QAnon today are sending you good vibes tomorrow?
Yes.
Gotcha.
They're going. Yeah. No, they're going to become those people. And I already see it. Like, I see some of their Twitters. They're just going to go into some other thing. Because they need a direction. They need a direction. They're going to start talking about aliens. QAnon people start talking about aliens real soon.
We love aliens.
Because Earth isn't working for them. What they thought was going to happen on planet Earth is not working. So they're going to be like, actually, it's the intergalactic. And you just got to let them talk and go, okay, cool, man.
It's just the conviction that which they talk with. Like, you ask me, are there aliens out there?
Yeah.
I would say, maybe. Yeah. Maybe there are. Yeah. But if you come to me and you're like, man, an alien was in my bedroom last week. Like, he was sitting there. I had a conversation with him. He told me that they were going to arrest Biden at the inauguration.
What if I told you that?
Right.
Because it happened.
Well, then I would probably believe.
Now, what do your friends say after none of this happens? Do you call them and go, guys, what's the deal
going on here?
One of my boys, very good friends, has a boy who has gone
crazy. Yeah.
Off the deep end.
I know. Yeah.
Full on.
Yeah.
I don't even know what it is. Overtaken?
Yeah. Overtaken.
Forgot, lost.
Yeah.
His sense of self has gone to the brain.
Completely,
like.
It's sad, but it's like, I also just think you got to let people have that experience, because it's the same experience for people that maybe dropped a lot of acid in the 60s. QAnon's a lot less fun. Yeah. You know, in the 60s, at least people just dropped a bunch of acid and fucked in a field.
Yeah.
QAnon, they sat on a computer for 4 years, you know, but they're still going to have to sober up. And it's just like, that was their protest movement. That was their, like, it's like my parents were like, yeah, man, we ate peyote and just went on, you know, did orgies. And like somebody else's parents would be like, we thought Nancy Pelosi was cooking babies in a pot. Right. That was our, That was our rebellious phase. That was our badass rebellious phase.
It's a phase.
It's a phase.
The fucked up thing about it is they, in my eyes, they ruined conspiracy theory. Like conspiracy theories used to be a ton of fun.
Yeah.
You could kick it with your friends. You could eat some popcorn on a Friday night and look at the fact that, you know, maybe we're all just tetrahedrons, as fucking Jim Carrey would say. Like, or some sort of like. Well, now it's aligned with our real life.
QAnon became like the game Clue, where they're like, well, we're going to solve it. We're going to fix it. We're going to. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
What is it?
Like, people were like, it was like a live action role play game. Right. Like, and that's what they were
doing. But without the blowjobs.
It was Pokemon Go with Hillary Clinton as Satan. Like, that's what it was. Pokemon Go, that was the beginning.
Gotta catch them all.
Like, I was weirded out in New York City when people were running around, like adults were like running around after fake Pokemon.
That was me.
That was crazy. And that was QAnon. You're just running after Hillary Clinton somewhere. Where, let's get her. That's just what it, but you gotta let people have fun. You gotta let them have fun. Listen, there's not enough to do in this country to have fun anymore. And it was fun. They had a good time. Here's the thing with the QAnon people. It's hard. They were having a lot of fun. They were having a lot. Have you ever, did you see them with the meetups and the hats and the pictures of Joe Biden with the horns? They had fun.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what? Everybody needs, that's their bowling league.
Right, that's their
fucking little league. That's their like, hey man, our kids play on the same soccer team. It's like, yeah, man, Bill Clinton's an interdimensional shape-shifting demon. And he's got like, it's their,
The problem lately though has been in what I call the bleed. They've started to bleed into
other
actual events. Like you're like, wow, the people that stormed our Capitol building with Confederate flags also had Q patches as they were murdering
the cops. There's a lot of like hot Instagram influencers that are Q people. It's like kind of hilarious.
But that's the other thing too. Like you're sitting at a business meeting and we have a conversation with people that you're about to do millions of dollars worth of business with, and you're having a conversation with Tim Dillon. You're like, yo, these people are fucking crazy. And the guy that you look to that's the head of the organization you're about to team up with says, but are they actually that crazy after all? And you're like, oh, fucking A.
Yeah, but you know what? Sometimes
it's bleeding into life.
Sometimes you just got to look at someone next to you and go, he makes really good hoodies. You know? It's like, sometimes you just got to let them stay in their lane. I have friends where I will only speak to them about the thing that I have friends for one topic.
Yep.
I have friends for like one topic. I have like a friend for one topic. And then if they go to another topic, I'll hang up. I'll go, hey man, I'm going through a canyon. Great excuse. I'm in a canyon. You just go, I'm out. I'm in Palm Springs. I'm in the desert. I have friends where I literally only talk to them about one thing. And that's what you got to do. And you just got to let them, then they can have their Q friend and talk about nonsense.
You like compartmentalize them.
I need to.
Do you have a cheeseburger guy currently?
I have a guy where I'll just talk about meat. I have a meat friend. We'll talk about steaks. And he'll ask me about steakhouses. I'll talk to him about steakhouses. We'll go back and forth about steakhouses. If he ever said, my wife had cancer, I'd go, I gotta go. I can't go there with him. It's not what it's about.
But what if
it's
he said, ribeyes. See, but you can't get out ahead.
Don't tell me you were molested. We're talking about ribeyes.
No, you can't get ahead because before you hung up the phone, he was about to say, and she's leaving me all her Wagyu.
Yeah.
And you can have some of it.
Okay, that's
see,
true.
You fucked up.
That's true. That's a good point.
But can I be your cheeseburger guy? That's why
we could discuss cheeseburgers. Okay. Why? Because you can say it was invented in Connecticut, even though it was invented in New York City on the dock.
Were they? David would say they were invented in Hamburg, Germany, where he's from. The hamburger.
David's out of his mind.
He believes in QAnon.
Nothing was invented anywhere but America.
What's your best cheeseburger out there right now?
Good question.
Chain-wise. I don't want to hear some fucking rinky-dink spot Walt Whitman Mall.
Chain cheeseburger that's really good. There's a spot in New York City called the Five Napkin Burger.
Oh, yeah, heard of it.
That's really good. They have Gruyere cheese and like sauteed onions and this like rosemary aioli. That's a really good one from a chain. Shake Shack is killer. In-N-Out's good.
Ever had Whataburger?
Whataburger's really good.
Is it?
It's really good. Yeah, okay. It's not great.
Would you say it's on the same level as In-N-Out and Shake Shack?
Yeah. I mean, it's really good. Wendy's from the 90s was amazing. When Wendy's in the 90s, when there was like old women working there, Wendy's.
Where's the beef?
Yeah, those were just chubby old women that had never had kids.
Right.
Like they had never, you know, they had never cradled a baby. So that Baconator, that was everything.
Their child. Yeah.
That was everything to them. Right. But Wendy's was a very fun and sad place. And it was like, you know, it was really good. So those burgers were great. But the best burger, I think, is the one you make at home. There's never been a better cheeseburger than eat one off a grill. When you just jump out of a pool and you're eating it. And that's the best cheeseburger.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's the best thing. Cheeseburger is about mindset.
Yeah,
it's about mindset.
Wendy's is great.
Wendy's was amazing, and it's just falling apart.
With the old women, and then the contrast being, you know, the underage icon and logo for the business. Poor girl who clearly didn't want to promote cheeseburgers. She just wanted to hang out with her friends, go to school, you know, do the normal stuff.
Yeah.
And Dave Thomas had, you know, I don't think it was actually his daughter. I think it was no, it's fake. Dylan.
And you know who that young girl is now? Do you know who that young girl is now, though? Literally?
No, it is. It's his actual fucking daughter.
Do you know who that young girl is now? Literally? Lizzo. And that's a little known fact. That's absolutely
true.
Who is she? Where is she?
Dave Thomas's daughter.
There's a chain restaurant called Wendy.
You've been there.
No, I know what it is.
I've been there. Okay. Oh, yeah, a lot of Wendy's in Ohio.
That's the joint, dude.
Dude, are you a fan of Grater's ice cream in Ohio?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Wow.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Ohio is
black raspberry chip at Grater's.
It has subsections.
Interesting.
Like Cincinnati is still Ohio.
But the food's gross there.
What is it?
It's chili.
It's disgusting. Skyline. Spaghetti.
You're pissing somebody off real bad.
Skyline chili is for women with neck tattoos. It's for women that are big fans of UFC. That's what it is.
Ronda Rousey.
It's carnival food, but there's no carnival. Like, the game is let's get health insurance. Cincinnati is a hell of unspeakable. I mean,
really
there's
is.
Like wild wolves that walk the streets.
Oh, yeah.
It's such a weird place.
No, it's a very bad place. And
saying.
The food is like disgusting. It's really, really.
They're like, do you like chili? You're like, yeah. Do you like it on top of buttered noodles?
Yeah.
And you're like, not really. That seems weird. Yeah. Why would you do this to me? Yeah. Like a hot dog, maybe, but why are you making my pasta?
Like the food in Cincinnati is like fried cigarettes. It's like the worst thing you could ever have.
Done the Cincinnati.
You sent me a picture?
Yeah.
I don't think you did, dude.
To the group.
Oh.
What about Portland? What about Portland?
China. I'm not a huge fan, but I don't hate it. It's fine. They're a little wacky.
Andrew Scholes hates Portland.
I don't love it. I like salt and straw ice cream and stuff that comes out of Portland. So I got
something that I can no longer ignore.
Yeah.
Wow.
China rolls out anal swab coronavirus test, saying it's more accurate than the throat method.
Throats and assholes.
Any orifices, huh?
China's just making, they're just trolling, right? I mean, they're just having fun now. They're kind of just having fun.
They're literally telling us.
Look at this woman. Imagine the face. No, don't.
That's the same face if they did it anally. She would have the same exact face.
Yeah, that is an anal swab.
You think that's going to make its way here?
I mean, at what point is China literally just telling us to go shove it up her ass? You know what I'm saying? Point, like point, right now. Yeah, here's the thing that people don't know, and this will probably tell you more about it. Anal is the way to greatness for a lot of things.
Sure.
And not only swabs now, but sex, but also getting fucked up.
Right.
Butt chugging. If you look at the efficacy of taking drugs, if you stick a pill in your asshole, it's like 10 times more effective than taking it orally.
In a Weibo poll, 80% of respondents said they could not accept the invasive method.
At what point are doctors going to just quit?
Yeah, well, then they won't get better. Then you won't get better.
Do you know what I mean? Like, one of the doctors are like, all right, bro. Like, I'm not doing this.
It's inconvenience. It made sense for use only in select groups.
Porn
stars.
I love, it's just like the hot people.
So many girls are obsessed with trying to get near their boyfriend's buttholes nowadays. And I feel like this is the cheat code. Like, this is how they say,
we got it.
You know, if you want to go see Grandma Jane, you got to have your butthole swabbed. And they stick a cucumber in it when you're bent over.
I'm with you.
That's all we got, bro.
Well, how come?
I got a call five minutes ago.
Oh, sorry.
Well, I'll answer any questions you want. Tim Dillon, thanks for going on the Pulse, bro.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Of course.
Love it.
If you guys watching, sending you good energy, good vibes.
Yeah, good energy.
Don't waste your time. Hit that subscribe button. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.